Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Frank Legato, editor of Global Gaming Business. Today we feature slot supplier Blueberry, and our guests are Andrew Burke, the CEO, and Mike Brennan, Chief Product Officer. This podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. Our guests today are both veterans of the slot supply sector. Andrew Burke was a longtime senior vice president of slots for gaming supplier AGS before taking the reins at Blueberry as CEO. Mike Brennan was vice president of product management with IGT, where he served 12 years going back to legacy company Atronic. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
The first question I'd like to ask deals with how quickly you've achieved success in Class 3 after being mainly a Class 2 supplier. You've done it in a short period. You've won a couple of Eilers Awards in the process. How did you build the team with veterans and the people that were already in place at Canada?
Yeah, I think like all sort of overnight success stories, there are really many, many more years in the making, you know, and like I think Blueberry's sort of overnight success story is about 30 years in the making, going back to sort of the founding of the company on a rich legacy of high quality graphics, entertainment based games, and a really sound technology. And so I think the thing for us is like we had this amazing core group of folks in Drummondville who have been Drummondville, Quebec, who've been working on this business for a really long time with a tremendous amount of talent. And I think when we paired that with some of our sort of newer key additions and you know, Mike Brennan joining the team and Christian Smith and you know, a lot of the other folks that we brought on, it's really kind of become a superpower for us and sort of unlocked some really great potential. So it does feel quick, but it's been a long time in the making. And I think a lot of really amazing stuff happened to get us here so quickly.
Now, as I said, you've got great industry recognition here. You've been making some noise. What are you doing differently that's been working?
I think there's quite a few things that we've been doing differently. But, you know, I think really we talked about it sort of at the beginning here, but like our culture, having the Canadian team and the U.S. team really find a tremendous amount of common ground and working together has really become a superpower for us. You know, we both work differently. And I think in the early days of sort of me being here at Blueberry, we spent time trying to figure out, you know, how does that work? You know, we have a certain way of working, they have a certain way of working, but really what's happened is it's sort of blended together, to create one culture. And that's really where, the difference is coming from. And I think we've moved from sort of a culture of, you know, they, I call it, right, where like, hey, they don't understand us or they don't understand me, to a culture of we, where everyone is really working together and is in sync, building the business.
And what about some of the things you've been doing differently with product?
Yeah, I think from the product standpoint, a lot. I think it's important to kind of note that we're doing things differently, but not radically, right? We definitely have this kind of phrase, no sacred cows. We actually had a button that we use at G2E with a little X through a cow. And we try to always challenge maybe convention. And so what we're doing isn't radical innovation. It's, we kind of call it creativity within confines, supported by best-in-class information. And that means like, hey, know what's going on in the market, know what's going on with trends. And together, I think that's powerful. The example Andrew and I were talking about yesterday, it's like, hey, you have a blank canvas and you're like, hey, Frank, paint anything you want. You know, it's kind of hard to maybe zero in on what you would do and how creative you could be. But if it's like, hey, paint something futuristic featuring, you know, a mammal, right? It's amazing how many different iterations and how creative you can get with those like two parameters. So that's kind of the approach we've taken. We're developing on tracks. So we have a handful going right now where we've got like independent reels with cash on reels, we've got hold and spin. And with these kind of confines, we're able to find a ton of creativity. So behind us is Rocket Rumble. It's our latest release. And this is a great example where it's a 24 ways game on a 5x4, and it's got non-monetary progressives, but it's got 3.5 or 4 ways into the bonus. And so that's, it's got this pretty creative wheel that gets you there in a standard way. So that's an example of, hey, one bonus, one chase, you know, across 4 different pots, but 4 different ways to get in. So that's been really successful for us, I think, is like narrowing in what we can do. We're never going to do a radical, I think, non-spinning reels game, but we're going to continue to kind of stay on our tracks and add all these innovations within. So that's one phase. And the second one is really, we've kind of executed a bunch of things already. Like we just finished this massive research project on almost every game mechanic in the field. So more to come at G2E. We're kind of reveal some things we learned there. We kind of created our gaming archetypes that we've been starting to publish. These are player-centric views, but we're working on things. We're working on a predictive model. So I'm sure anyone in the industry is asked at some point, how do you think that game's going to do? And then the answer is always, well, we've come up with some metrics, some questions, and listen, it's a work in progress, but that's in process. And then we're really excited about, as you tell, we're pretty pumped here. We have some commandments. So we're working on some kind of design commandments that are a little different and probably can share a couple with you as well.
Yeah, and I think one other thing I should have mentioned the first part of this too, but I feel like we've also made a lot of investments in other parts of the business. We're making a ton of investments in R&D, but I think for a company our size, you'd be shocked by the investments we've made in product management, gaming operations, analytics, tools to tie all of our data together and to make better decisions. Like we really pride ourselves for being a small company of sort of over-indexing in all of those areas of the business, which are extremely important to take a little company and sort of make it big and to get where you want to go faster, which is, I think, Frank, why we're seeing some of that success happen so quickly. It's like the R&D team is doing an amazing job, but they have a ton of support in the organization. And so does the sales team. You know, whether it's analytics or data or, you know, sort of even information on when your game's shipping out and, you know, when are they going to get to the customer? Like all that information is pretty readily available to most of our employees.
Now's the time to do it, right? That's an advantage we have being smaller and agile. It's like, it's hard to do it when you've got 20,000 games in the field or 10,000 even, right? Now's the time to do it. So we've been really able to make that move this year. This is a kind of a transformational year for us as we, you know, move into really rapid growth.
Well, to that point, you are poised to grow. What is the plan for expansion in North America and what's next for Blueberry?
Yeah, you know, we want to keep expanding. Right now, I think we have access to roughly, you know, sort of a third of total jurisdictions in the U.S., by the end of 2026, we'd like to be in every market in North America. We actually just this past week started the process here in Nevada. So it's about a 15-month timeline, but you know we're actively now in that sort of beginning stages of that process. So our goal is to really keep pushing. I think you know we've actually sort of doubled the business year over year last year, and we're sort of on track to more than double the business this year. And I think, you know, it's sort of surprised some people maybe, but, and maybe things we continue to do will surprise people, but, you know, we don't view ourselves as underdogs anymore. Like we view ourselves as sort of coming out of that sort of emerging tier of suppliers and moving our way up into the next tier. And that's really our goal is to build this into a long lasting, really big business that competes in lots of segments in the market. And so there's a ton of work to do to get us from, you know, where we're at to there, but we're certainly not going to lack on ambition to do that.
Just as a follow-up, you are expanding across North America. What about beyond? For instance, what about Canada's Class 3 market? Are you interested in that? Are you looking at that?
Canada's a big market for us. I mean, being a Canadian company, obviously, we are actively in the Ontario process right now. We are approved in Quebec and going through the testing process, early stages in Alberta. So, you know, we're going to be definitely in all of those jurisdictions. I think question of further afield beyond sort of the North American continent, it's sort of hard to predict the future. You know, Mike and I did go on a fun field trip last year and were pleasantly surprised to hear a bunch of people at ICE that had known about our product, knew about our business. You know, they read some of the same industry reports that we read. So, you know, who knows what the future will hold there. But I do think one of the things we've done very, very well at Blueberry is stay focused. And so the next couple of years, our plan is about continuing to open new jurisdictions in North America.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we all know, this is a business where good products are often emulated by other companies. And now with your higher profile games like Devil's Lock winning the award at Eilers, you're getting more notice. Any concerns that you're going to be a target for some of this, let's say, emulation or copying?
Yeah, you know, we know it's happening. You know, I think we saw our first iteration of Devil's Lock at the IGA show, and we actually celebrated that at our post-show wrap-up. I mean, it's a milestone of sorts, right? Like, people are taking notice of what we're doing and sort of want to swim in that same lane that we're carving out and creating. So, you know, we don't lose too much sleep about it. I mean, it's sort of, we know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, this industry, information is readily available, right? Everybody's, you know, staying on trend and that's going to happen. And I think one thing to remember is like, hey, who could be better at copying your own game than yourself, right? And I think some of the best iterations and the best copies are from, you know, the vendor themselves. So we, you know, we kind of going back to our commandments. So to tease that out, is one of ours is that we don't clone. So we don't, there's many reasons we can get into, but we're actually working on a declone structure, we call it, of Devil's Lock. So, you know, once Devil's Lock was out there and started to have sustainable performance and some crazy early numbers, you know, we figured out why, or tried to figure out, you know, what made it as such, and then kind of broke it down, all the different elements, and then are rebuilding it with some tweaks, right? So, you know, that's in process. You know, we have the different tracks where, you know, as the Devil's Lock style game, you know, is maybe having a resurgence, you know, we're working on some other things, and we're, you know, also believe in, you know, IP and sequeling as well. So, you know, just a bunch of different ways of doing things. You know, we're done with 88 credit games. So that's something else we're working on. So again, it's like, hey, there's been a ton of those. We tried a couple, it did really well or pretty well for us. We're going other directions, and you know, even how we launch product, right? So we're trying to kind of stay, you know, even a step ahead of Devil's Lock and a step ahead of ourselves to try to figure out, you know, as we launch things like sequels of Devil's Lock, you know, we believe in billboarding over potting and players learning from each other. So working on something there that you'll see at the show. And, you know, in general, you know, trying to understand that, you know, Devil's Lock isn't what defines us, right? We definitely want to, I said that last time we talked, you know, we're learning from it, but we're trying to be diverse in our approach. And we welcome, you know, we welcome folks to, you know, to make versions as everybody in this industry does. And we're excited about all the next things we've got.
Mm-hmm. One more question while we have a couple of minutes here. At G2E last year, you did something that was very unique in that you kind of demonstrated the process of how you design a game and how you put it together. How did that go? How was that received?
Yeah, I think really well. I think Andrew says it well. It's like there seems to be this certain material curtain, not like an iron curtain, but there's something that's always keeping R&D and studios behind the scenes. Uh-huh. Right, for various reasons, structure, trade secrets. And so, you know, we believe in bringing that forward a little bit. I do believe one of our other superpowers is where our studios and our research and development is closer to the market than I think others. And G2E was a great example where we're building a game in the back, right? Where we're exposing our R&D folks to customers and vice versa. And that created, you know, some great engagement, even just internally. And, you know, we want to be able to show our customers, hey, this is why we're doing something, right? Everyone wants to know the who, the what, but the why. And so, you know, we had little storyboards on our screens. I mean, these screens are perfect vessels for sharing information. So, you know, we think it went extremely well, right? We talked about kind of the portfolio balancing. We had a couple of stats, you know, and little snippets on each game. Our customers were taking pictures and, you know, kind of helped them understand, you know, where we were going. That's something we're going to continue to lean in on. We think it's definitely an advantage that we can run with the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for taking the time. Congratulations on your success, and I know it's going to continue. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate the opportunity.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topic we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. We'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.